used to call evening.
He's talking about Hieronymus Bosch.
Eventide.
I'm trying to make your podcast more interesting by giving you details.
Barton, New Hampshire is a small town. Most of the people who went to school with me had been together since kindergarten. Some of the kids were in the same class together for well over a decade. This kind of close proximity fosters relationships not unlike siblings, or at least cousins. What I'm getting at is, the dating pool was pretty small. Personally, I didn't have a girlfriend until college. Often people who maintain romantic teen relationships in Barton were dating people from other towns, or they dated the occasional new kid. The only new kid during my senior year was a kid who later disappeared. His name was Alistair Klamis. This is the Disappearance Podcast, Episode 4, Eventide. Jessica Morlick was a year behind me in high school, but we knew each other through the school's music program. We were both in the school's small but dedicated concert band. I played trumpet, she played the saxophone. After speaking with her over the phone during my last episode, I couldn't help but go through all the things that I neglected to ask her. When she agreed to a second conversation, in person, I didn't want to make the same mistake twice. I recognized her immediately when we met at a coffee shop local to us both. It's called Crack Skulls, Coffee and Books.
I felt like he had a desire to be normal, you know?
Are you saying Alistair wasn't normal?
He never brought me books home from school, yet he got straight A's. He didn't bring a lunch to school either. I don't think I ever saw him eat anything.
Did he ever show any sign of, like, really liking you in a romantic way?
Yes. Our relationship was real, if that's what you're asking. I might have pressured him into being my boyfriend, but he did reciprocate eventually.
Like he...
We kissed a few times. That's it.
When did you hear he disappeared?
He and I were no longer together by then. We never really broke up, but after he graduated, we sort of lost our connection. We stopped talking, and after a while I realized it was over. I heard he was missing from my friend Eliza Tolkins. Do you remember her? Her father was the police chief. I think he still is.
Oh, right. It's been a while since I've heard that name.
She said that Alistair had run away.
She said that?
Yeah. She said his family was pretty spooked by the whole thing, but that they were reclusive, so they were sort of just letting the police take care of it. It was all kind of rumor at that point. She just wanted to make sure I knew. Alistair was 18 by that point. I guess if he wanted to disappear, then it was his right.
I know this is a long time ago, but do you remember anything else she said?
Not really. I thought about him for a long time, though. I was glad that he never came back.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I hope he escaped whatever he was running away from.
I know you listened to the first couple episodes of the show. I was wondering if you ever noticed Alistair with recording equipment, or did he ever show a special interest in the arts?
You mean medieval art, or the works of Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah. You've been listening.
Those aren't the sorts of things we talked about.
For the most part, Jessica paints a portrait that fits how I remember Alistair Klamis. Quiet, memorable hair, a bit quirky. I was a little disappointed that she didn't know more about his home life. it appears that Alistair was mysterious, even then. After I edited the conversation you just heard, I played it for my wife, Carol. She suggested I post a mention of this podcast on the Barton Community Facebook page. So I did. She figured if Jessica was out there, then maybe more people knew him more than I did. In the post, I asked if anyone would agree to be recorded for an interview about Alistair or his father, Sam. While I was looking at the page, I noticed most of the people I went to school with moved away from Barton. I figure it must be hard for a community as isolated as that small North Country town to retain its young people after they go off to college. After 3 days, my Facebook post got one response. A single reply from a guy named Josh Strickens. I didn't remember him, but I have since learned that Josh graduated 2 years ahead of me, and he still lives in Barton. He has a web design company that he runs out of his house. Interestingly, he doesn't remember Alistair at all, though he does remember hearing about the disappearance. I spoke to him on the phone, and he was surprisingly eager to meet with me face to face, even if it meant him driving across the state. I ended up at a bar across the street from our state capital in Concord. I recorded the conversation, but Josh didn't really have much to offer. Frankly, I feel bad that he drove so far. He did say one thing that really struck me. Here's that part of the conversation.
Well, I can't imagine what it'd be like trying to find work around there if it wasn't for the web. I love the outdoors, so it's a perfect place for me, but if you don't like to hunt or hike or snowmobile, then there's nothing around there.
Do you think Alistair ran away?
I don't think so. I think he got lost in the woods. Maybe his dad killed him.
Are you serious?
I know there's no proof ever found. I don't mean to slander the dead Johnson, but Sam Glamis was a weird dude.
It's John. What made Sam Glamis weird?
Well, he'd walk into the post office of the country store with his cold look. He'd stare at you like he knew you, but if you said anything to him, then he'd just turn and walk away. Didn't help that he had a gun on him all the time.
Does that make him a murderer?
Well, no, I'm just saying he was strange. You know, after they cleared out his place last year, they burned the house to the ground. Guess we'll never know.
After executing the two face-to-face meetings for this episode, I began to feel some self-doubt about this whole project. For some reason, talking to someone on the phone is one thing, but meeting people face-to-face is starting to feel like an invasion of privacy. Is my podcast prying too much into someone or something that isn't going to lead anywhere? Perhaps I was pressuring my audio friend, Tom Allegost, too much to unravel Alistair's mysterious record collection. And maybe it really is just a teenage art project. Driving back from Concord, I started to wonder if it was time to call the whole thing off. In fact, that is what I decided. I hesitantly decided that I would end the project right here and now in an episode called Eventide, using the word Alistair would say to Jessica instead of the word evening. This episode was going to be a good night to Alistair. That's when I heard from Tom. This time he didn't call. He didn't email either. When I got home from Concord, he was sitting in his car in my driveway. He told me to start recording. He wanted to come inside, so we sat down in my living room. Carol was still at work, so it was just the two of us. Here's what he said.
Do you promise that you have been completely honest with me?
What do you mean?
I mean, this isn't some kind of joke on me specifically. Alistair Glamis is a real person, and you got this box in the mail, and he's really been missing for all this time, for 20 years.
Yes, it's all true. What did you find?
I found you.
What do you mean?
I found your voice.
No way.
Yes, way. I am pretty sure it's you. Are you sure you don't remember this?
This would be 20 years ago.
The words you use, it's just not the you I know. I feel like you would remember.
Tom opened a laptop computer that he brought and passed me his headphones. I'm going to play for you the recording that he played for me.
So you're saying you have no other choice but to kill him? Reynolds. You have no idea what you're doing. This is crazy. What are the results of a blooming flower? What hath God wrought?
Tom was right. It didn't sound like me. But it was me. Listening to the recording was more than unnerving. It was simply unreal. I immediately thought that I may have been reading from something, like a script or a poem. Regardless, it was my voice. And Tom wasn't done with me.
I uncovered that recording from the LP inside Willie Nelson's Stardust slipcase. Willie covers a bunch of old popular tunes like Unchained Melody. There you go. I made your podcast more interesting by providing details. Who is Reynolds?
I have no idea.
To date, the only voices recovered are from Alistair and you. And you both mention him. Reynolds. Was he a friend, a teacher? Who is Reynolds?
This would be 20 years ago.
The table was turned, and I didn't have much to give in the way of answers. I don't remember saying those words. If it was me, which it does appear to be, then it was me 20 years ago. To the best of my knowledge, I've never, ever known anyone named Reynolds. That night, I played the recording for Carol. In perfect Carol fashion, she ignored the Reynolds mention and focused on something else entirely.
Okay. What hath God wrought? What hath God wrought? Wrought.
Wrought.
Wrought like a tomato. What hath God wrought? Maybe the whole thing is a quote. What hath God wrought? That's a funny thing to say. You know it would be really freaky? If it was another made-up Edgar Allan Poe quote.
That last bit was Carol making fun of me. Some of you have written asking how Carol is taking this whole podcast project. There you have it. I would say she's doing it with humor. She knows the podcast is becoming more than a hobby, but that doesn't save me from occasional teasing.
Let's play a game called Good Cop, Bad Cop. You could be the good, I will be the bad. Let's find the lovers who broke our hearts. Ask them how they sleep now we're apart. And even if they answer, we're not done. We will pull out our Tommy gun and shoot them down just for fun.
By the way, Carol was right. I did a search for What Hath God Wrought. I was indeed quoting something, but it wasn't Poe. It was from the Bible, specifically the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 23, which reads, "Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought?" The passage is from the second oracle of a sorcerer named Balaam. But that's not the only source I found. The phrase, "What hath God wrought?" was also the first message to be sent over the telegraph. On May 24, 1844, Samuel Morse himself sent that message from the Supreme Court chamber in the Capitol in Washington, D.C., to the B&O Railroad Depot in Baltimore, Maryland, instantly revolutionizing the field of communications, paving the way for the telephone, and eventually the internet. This is what that message sounded like. After all that research, I was no longer sitting up at night wondering what Alistair Glamis was trying to tell me through his mysterious box of strange recordings. Now I was staying up at night trying to figure out what I was trying to tell myself. It turns out someone else was staying up late as well. Okay, it is currently 2 a.m. Tom just called. He's been up late uncovering more of me, more of my voice from Willie Nelson's Stardust. Again, he made me promise that I wasn't playing a joke on him. He told me he was sending me a file. I have headphones on. He wants me to record my reaction, even though it's the middle of the night. Okay, here I go. I shouldn't have listened to that. I should have waited until morning. I'll share what I heard in my next episode. In the meantime, if you know anything about how or why this was done, or you're connected with Alistair Glamis in any way and wish to share, or if you want to explore companion materials, then please visit my website at disappearancepodcast.com. This project is a co-production with Partners in Crime Media. Thanks to Tom Allegost, Jessica Morlick, Josh Strickens, and my wife Carol for making this episode possible. Thanks also to Prom Queen and Ben Von Wildenhaus for providing the amazing music. Thanks also to Karen Fay, Sean Crapo, and Jeremy Murphy for the support. Please take a moment to rate and review this program on iTunes, or just tell a friend so the word can spread. Thank you. Let's talk in 2 weeks. Partners in Crime Media.